news, and I started to have opinions on politics. This is stupid. That is amazing. Why are we not doing this? But still, I didn't write about politics, because I wasn't a professional politics person. I thought that the grown-ups would round on me if I did, that they would read that column and point out that I did not have the education or knowledge to have an opinion on these things, and I would be shamed for writing something foolish or ignorant or which didn't go into huge details about the Whig government of 1715. But then, in 2011, I wrote How to Be a Woman in a huge five-month frenzy. I had spent years wanting to write a book about feminism, but had thought it would be the same deal as with politics, that feminism was a job for professional feminist people, and that it wasn't something you could rock up to unless you'd been to the right university, joined the right groups, read the right books, and learned the right history and terminology. Maybe you'd even need to know about the Whig government of 1715 here, too. I didn't know. It was entirely possible. However, the arrival of my daughters viscerally overrode that fear. As they began school, I became so wild with panic that they would, as they started to go out in society, have to deal with all the same crushing, debilitating, time-wasting, unjoyous bullshit I'd had to deal with when I was their age, the same anxious, enraging, dull deforming of the female spirit that I wrote the book anyway. I wanted to write something that laid out, all in one place, as much as I was able, why the world is as it is for women, and pass on as many tools as I was able for them to analyse it and deal with it, while at the same time detailing all the times I'd been a massive knobhead, so they could, maybe, avoid perhaps half of all the mistakes I'd made. And when How to Be a Woman took off, in the most unexpected way, despite me not being a professional feminist person, I started to think, maybe there's something to learn here. Maybe you don't need to be the right kind of person to write about big things. Maybe anyone, thoughtful and making an effort, can contribute to the debate. Maybe there are thousands of us who are not thinking and not writing and not talking, just because we think we are the wrong kind of person. So I am going to write about politics now. Firstly, because I think I should. And secondly, because I'm old enough now not to care if people think I can't. I love getting older. You might lose skin elasticity, but you also lose the amount of fucks you give. It's awesome. So I rang my editor at the Times and told her that I would now like to give up my humorous column in the magazine and move to the op-ed pages, because that's where all the professional political people write, and that I would write only serious political pieces from now on. Because you can't write a column for a glossy magazine where one week you detail how much you hate printers, and then the next, Syria. That's just not one of the careers on offer. And she replied, "You massive idiot. Of course you can do both. In fact, you should do both. There's a whole section of people who'll never read the op-ed pages because they don't think politics is for them. But they'll read it if they come across it accidentally in a glossy magazine. Really, it's the only place you should write about politics if you want to reach as many people as possible. I'm going to say it again. You're a massive idiot." So I stayed, and this collection is the result of that conversation. To my great relief, I didn't have to give up the fun, joyous stuff, and so half of what follows is getting drunk with Benedict Cumberbatch, boggling over the rainy, catastrophic Queen's Jubilee, hangovers, cystitis, and being quite angry about the utter betraying motherfuck properties of printers. It's reviewing documentaries about David Bowie and falling in love with him all over again, and sharing all my hard-won advice about dealing with people on the 5-2 diet. And the other half is about the wider world, which starts to feel far less abstract and closer and more pressing as you get older. Syria, abortion, welfare, rape, the death of Margaret Thatcher, FGM, sex work, renewable energy, ironic bigotry, boarding schools, refugees, austerity and inequality. The things which shape the outside world, which seem distant, merely issues, but which at any minute can come into your house or that of those you love and blow all their plans away. The stuff we think we can escape when we shut the front door, only to find it has come in through the kitchen window and is sitting on the table, waiting for you, setting fire to your books and your calendar and your life. And as I collected all these pieces together for this book, I started to see that a lot of what I was saying all seemed to join up a bit.